You're listening to The Cannabis Hangout, two girls, one bowl, and a podcast that is breaking the stigma of marijuana. My name is Brannon.
And my name is Saba. We will be connecting with a community of cannabis enthusiasts by educating people,
sharing stories from medical marijuana patients,
and interviewing industry leaders while debunking cannabis myths.
So we invite you to come roll with us
while we break it all down.
Hey friends, welcome back to another episode. I'm Brannon.
And I'm Saba.
And we are your hosts of the Cannabis Hangout. Thanks for tuning in to another one. On today's episode, we're speaking with Calvin, who we met at the Cowboy Cup in Tulsa, Oklahoma recently in December. He has his hands in some freelance content creation for cannabis companies, brands, and creatives. He's also a marketing coordinator for Dare to Dream Recovery and founder of a nonprofit, I Love Your Life, Inc. Today, we're excited to hear about his journey and learn more about him. So please welcome Calvin to the Cannabis Hangout.
I loved it.
Hi, Calvin.
Hello.
Did that live up to your expectations?
That did live up to it. I loved it. You made me sound cool.
Good. You are cool. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be here with us and just chat about you, your passions, and your cannabis journey. So let's just start from the beginning. Tell us where your cannabis journey first began, the first time you ever consumed.
So my story is really, there's a lot of gaps. Because I started off being scared of weed.
Like, okay. Yeah.
Growing up, I really didn't start consuming really until I was an adult. But my first time trying, because like I said, I've been watching your podcast. Mm-hmm. So I was like, let me think about the first time I actually
prepared yourself.
Yes, I was like, okay, how did this go? So my first or my earliest memory was it was me and a couple of friends. It was after football practice. There was an upperclassman who we all knew. He was the shit on the team. Mm-hmm. And so he invited us all to go hang out and smoke a bowl.
Yeah.
This is my first time ever, like, okay, let me
see what this is
yeah,
about.
Yeah, it was peer pressure, of course. All my friends are going to do it. And I'm like, all right, let's see what it's about. So we jump in his truck. It's like three or four of us in the back seat, two up front. We're driving, trying to find a neighborhood. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
This is before it was legal.
Okay.
So we're trying to find a neighborhood. We find one. We park. He begins to start filling the bowl. And then he's the one lighting it because nobody knows what the hell they're doing. Especially with the bowl. Like, when you're first starting to smoke and you haven't really been around it like mm-hmm. that, like, you don't even know how to work a bowl or, like, the thumb hole and how to
like, when
it.
You should inhale. Yes, the perfect timing to make it all work.
Exactly. So, like, he's helping us out. I'm just sitting there watching full of, like, anxiety because it's, like, about to be my turn. And so it's on me. He gets to sparking it up. And I'm sure I'm just burning through all this shit just in this one deal because I don't know what's happening. They help me, but as I get the smoke, now you have to inhale. And if you're a new smoker, you don't know what actually inhaling is. Like, do I swallow it?
Yeah.
You feel what I mean? So I hold it in my mouth for a little bit and I blow out. Time passes. Everybody's talking about, oh, I think I feel it. I think I feel it. But me, I'm sober.
Yeah.
Because it didn't actually hit me. So, I mean, we just rolled around. I mean, I sat there and was like in my head about it, like, do I feel it? Do I actually feel this? But I don't think I actually ever did. After that, I didn't like jump into it. It's probably like, wow, like in high school, I didn't really touch it at all. So just another gap. And that was like my first time trying it, but it didn't like have a lasting impression on me.
Yeah, it didn't like stick with you for a while.
But a little bit after that, probably like a year later, my junior year, I have a lot of relatives that actually do partake and everything like that.
Okay.
It's just in my household, my mom and dad.
Yeah. I was wondering, so like growing up, was it like taboo or like did it surround you a little bit?
I have like two different sides in my family.
Okay, yes, for sure. I understand
that. So I have
that.
My dad's side, which is like more kind of like not straight and narrow. They were musicians, so they had their thing.
But yes, of course.
They just didn't fuck with like the drug side of it. Or at least my dad didn't. He was an athlete as well. We were athletes growing up, so it was like, it just didn't.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, I had relatives like on my mom's side now, like all my uncles, when we go over the babysitters, we're in the room, but you smell that smell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So,
I was always kind of curious. I knew it was available. All them smoked. I had cousins who did, but it was one summer, and this, I think it was my junior summer going into my senior year. I was hanging out with a lot of, well, two of my older cousins, my older brother, and they smoked all the time. Mm-hmm. And so me naturally just hanging with them, finding a hoop session and just kicking it with the fam.
Right, right.
I'm like, okay, let's jump into it. And this is when, like, I feel like I got my peak high that I've never been able to get again.
Yeah.
Because we would smoke, we would all go to his cousin's house. This would be after, like, a long-ass hoop session. For some reason, in the summer, the mission was to find a hoop session. Which, anyways, we would smoke in the living room or whatever, and it would be amazing. We're all sitting in there playing music, freestyling, do what you do when you smoke.
Yes.
And then that's when it would hit me, and I would try to wonder how these people were functioning and still doing things while being so high. I'm on a couch stuck
and
hungry as fuck.
You're like the epitome of what a stoner.
Seriously, like, I'm stuck. I'm starving. Yeah. There's no food in the house. And, like, everybody
even worse.
Yeah, like, I am struggling over here. Like, how are you all acting so normal?
Yeah.
Anyway, so, and that was just, like, that summer where I really kind of dived in, and it was just hoop sessions, smoke, stuck on the couch, and a random McDonald's trip where I just feel my face.
Yeah. Hey. I feel like everyone kind of had a season that was like that. But that is such a simple, I feel like it's like wholesome.
It's so wholesome.
You know, it's just like you're smoking.
As, even as he's talking about rolling around in the car, I'm like having flashbacks of when
go
I used
shoot
to
some
do
hoops.
That. Yeah, freestyle. Yeah.
That was one of the best summers of my life.
Yeah, find a neighborhood that seems kind of chill.
Yeah, and then do what you got to do and bounce.
Yeah, and I went to Union, so there was like,
okay.
Yeah, Tulsa Union. I'm originally from Tulsa.
Okay.
So there's no like, like, every neighborhood, well, at least we were at, it looked nice. So we were scared as fuck because it's a nice-ass neighborhood and we are doing something illegal. You know what I mean? Yeah,
how do we fit in? How do we blend in here?
Yeah.
That's funny.
So, Calvin, what do you personally consume cannabis for, and how has it benefited your life?
I prepared for this one, too. Well, I didn't prepare for it, but it made me think when I've heard this question. So, I consume it for different reasons, and I had to kind of, like, do some reflecting back on why or when I started picking it up more heavily. Because I used to be the guy that I kind of prided myself, I only do it when it's around.
Yeah.
I don't spend my money on it. You know what I mean? I'm not the one to go out there and buy a pack. Yeah. You know, if it's around, I'll...
That's how brain used to be.
Yeah, that was always me. Because I'm like, I'm not spending my money on that because I don't smoke enough to do that. Yeah. But all my friends, they know I can always hit it.
Yep.
Well, and people would just like leave you nugs because like, oh, this shit doesn't smoke that much. So we'll just leave her bowl loaded. Yeah. And that would last her for like the week.
I was just kind of the mysterious one, you know? And then people just gave you the weed whenever you needed it.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But when I did start picking up, I noticed, I think, when I was out of college, kind of hitting the workforce.
Okay.
So, I graduated from OSU, Oklahoma State University, in 2015. I got my my bachelor's in communication sciences and disorders. So, with that, what you're able to do with that degree is you be a speech-language pathologist. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a passion of mine. It wasn't a dream. Really, College really just kind of set me up to kind of being on my own. Mm-hmm. I didn't really have a passion. I was more into, growing up, it was sports. Like, if I was going to college, I was supposed to be playing ball. Like, sports was a big passion of mine.
Yeah.
Also, music.
Okay.
So, going into college, and after, like, my football career ended in high school, I went through, like, a deep depression because I didn't know what to do with my life. Like, all I knew was football.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And then you have to, like, all of a sudden be, like, 18, 19 years old and be like, okay, the next 4 years, your life depends on what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, that way too much pressure.
Allegedly.
Like, nobody should.
Reflecting on that.
Like, make those decisions at that age.
I know.
I'm just now getting out of my parents' household, and I don't even know who the hell I am.
I feel you so hard.
And I went through some shit, like, kind of going from high school on into college, and then, like, a lot of things happened, like, that just feel like it just got ripped away from me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think I felt my first kind of, like, depression within that time frame, but I didn't go into cannabis then. But I say that to say, since football left my life, I dived into music real heavy, and I actually ended up, I created a, I don't know what to call it. It was a mixtape or whatever, but it was a bunch. It was like 6 or 7 songs that I created, and I just posted on SoundCloud or something like that. But I didn't promote it. I didn't know what that meant. I just thought.
Yeah.
But I thought that since sports was gone, I'll dive in to being a creative or doing this music, because that was at least my other passion that I knew that I loved to do. But there's nothing that you can do in college, or at least at OSU, that could really help me dive into that side of myself.
Yeah.
And I have this pressure of, I know what lifestyle I want to live. I know there's more for me out there. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel there's something different. I feel like I'm meant to be great. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But yeah. I don't know what the hell to do.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like math.
Yeah.
I liked, I don't like English or writing, but I'm good at creative writing. But,
okay.
I mean, I didn't want to go to school to be a teacher.
Right.
But so I got my degree in the speech pathology thing because my mom recommended it, because one of her friends, she did it and she made good money. So
okay.
I did that. I didn't apply myself, but I still did well. I always excelled in school. Mm-hmm. So I just, once I graduated...
Setting up a new company can be difficult and confusing, but establishing a strong foundation with appropriate and necessary documents can help protect you in the long run.
Jade Pebworth over at the Me Law Group in Oklahoma focuses to provide you with a comprehensive approach and intelligent advice and representation focused on resolving problems rather than inflating them.
She kills it with civil litigation, cannabis law, business planning, corporate law / litigation, and family law.
She enjoys working with companies from the ground up. Whether you need her to review and draft contracts for your company, assist in licensing applications, and more, the Me Law Group has your back.
Now, let's get back to today's episode.
I didn't go on to try to get my master's because I was not trying to accrue any more freaking debt.
I get it, yeah.
You know what I mean? And also with something that I'm not passionate about.
That you're not really sure about, too, that you're just, like, spending money on just to kind of get a certification or degree.
To get a real job.
A label above your head, yeah.
So that goes into trying to find that real job now.
Yeah.
And I did so many just random jobs. Just through the course of from college to where I am now.
Which I feel like is so good for you.
Oh,
though.
It is.
That's like building a whole skill set in
it
itself that like you might not get from other things in life. If you
I was able
that.
To connect with a lot of people from a lot of different walks of life and be able to kind of take those lessons there and use them.
Which
now.
Is so valuable.
Very valuable.
Yeah,
very valuable.
For sure. So to kind of go back to cannabis and how, like, when we were saying how it benefits your life, when you shop for it, like, what do you say, like, what do you look for? Like, what's important to you personally whenever you're, you know, looking for, like, the right strain or whatever is going to be good for you that day?
Yeah. Sorry, I went off on a whole tangent.
No, you're fine.
Hey.
No, but, I love it. Tangents are good. We get to learn about people whenever they go off of tangents.
For sure. So, So I started using more when I entered the workforce. And so now I'm actually buying, using my money to buy. Now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So now I'm a proud shopper.
Yes.
Hey.
I get that.
But I prefer indicas now.
Okay.
It used to be like a sativa thing because I didn't want to be stuck in a couch like I used to be when I was back in high school with the cousins.
Mm-hmm.
But now I like the body high that indicas give, or that kind of, it slows me down. I think a lot.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As you can see, I go into depth on things or depth, and I just go off on tangents, or I really do deep diving. I'm a deep thinker. So it also causes me to overthink, and being a creative, that slows you down and it causes you to not even take action. So now, like, that's what indicas does for me. It helps me to kind of like slow myself down. It's like, okay, you slow down a little bit. You're doing a little too much. You're overthinking it. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah,
go
and
with what
you can
got.
Do that during the day too for your body, I'm
sure. Oh, yeah, indicas all day. Like, it's my body. So I've been smoking for a while now, so my tolerance has gone up. But now, like, I appreciate, like, slow me down to where I even feel the heaviness, but I've gone to, like, I'm able to work through that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's also, like, it helps me creatively as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
But, so, yeah, so indicas. I don't have, like, a top strain right now. I fell in love early with, and I still can't find it now, but blue cheese.
Okay.
Blue cheese.
Do y'all remember that strain?
Yeah, that was when I feel like, have you been a med card holder since kind of the beginning?
No.
No, you haven't? Okay.
Just this year.
I feel like blue cheese was like something that I saw in the dispensaries with like Blue Dream and like GG4 and all those like OG strains kind of at the beginning.
Yeah.
But people growers caught on that patients wanted like exotic strains.
Yeah.
And so now people grow like crazy names like
oh my God, there's some crazy shit.
I don't even know.
Have you heard of cheetah piss?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Like cheetah piss. Like who the fuck is naming a strain cheetah piss? Yeah. Who the fuck is coming up with that?
Dead ass. I was, we were doing a pop-up. Me and Chelsea were doing a pop-up at a dispensary last week. And I was, I always go through and look and see what they have. There was a strain called skunk dick.
Like, why?
Who is for really going in there? Hey, yeah, give me the skunk dick.
Yeah. That's the one I want. Like, give me half of that.
I really don't see anybody buying it. Or, like, I hear this strain is great, but I'm not. I don't want
I don't even
want
to, like, say that out loud to when someone asks what I want.
It's just not attractive. So I always wonder, like, when people come up with strain names that doesn't even, like, originate from the original strains that it came from, like, why? I don't know.
Because you see, like, it's a skunk dick, but then you say it's a cross between this and this.
And like, you're like, well, where did that come from? Because that has nothing to do with skunk or dick. So I'm so confused.
It's real. So, okay, Calvin, if you had a day where you could, like, go anywhere and do anything, you didn't have responsibilities, like, where would you be? What would you be doing? Where's, like, the first place you would plant yourself?
This is hard because, like, I'm a homebody.
Okay.
But then I catch the mood to like, okay, no, let's go crazy. So if like my perfect day would be a mix of, first of all, just not having any responsibilities, like kind of like how a Sunday should be where I just want to wake up and not move if I don't have to and just not have any responsibilities. So it would be a day of just waking up, not super early, but on my own time, but enough time to, hey, let me enjoy a cup of coffee.
Yes.
Let me get the vibe right.
Yeah.
Light a joint, have a cup of coffee.
Yeah, nice and slow.
Turn on some music.
On your own time.
Seriously. Yeah. And let's see where it goes. Now, then that will lead into brunch. I love brunches. I love my mimosas. So that will go into, hey, let's make some plans. Let's invite some people out. Or just be me and Chelsea or something. But let's invite some people out. Let's have some brunch. Let's continue the vibes. After the mimosas, after all of that, that would go into, I guess, afternoonish, back at home with the dogs.
We have painting the picture, play by play.
Very specific. I feel like no one's done this. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I'm painting the whole thing.
You're back at home with the dogs. What kind of dogs do you have?
Okay, so
this is serious.
Yeah, it gets real. Got 10 of them.
Let's start with the first one.
I'll start with my first dog that really kind of like changed my life. She was there from college on to, when did Cello pass? Was that 2020? That was last year. Yeah, that was a really tough hit for us, and that caused a lot. But I had a pit bull boxer mix that I got going into college. And so, I mean, she made it through three girlfriends, a whole bunch of jobs, some moves.
Yeah. But
she was a legend. Like, she was at all my college parties. Everybody who's met this dog has nothing but good things to say. Aww. Like, she was special. So she's still there with us in spirit. I have a necklace with her ashes right here. I keep with me. So that's the first dog, Cello.
Okay.
OG. After that, we got Callie when I moved to Oklahoma City in 2018. She's a pit bull.
I love that you love pit bulls. Mm-hmm. I'm a big pit girl.
They are the best dogs in the world.
They're such great dogs.
Yes. Oh, my God. And because they're the biggest cuddle bugs in the world.
They're like, such babies.
Yes. And
ultimate babies.
It doesn't... that's Buddha. Okay, so that's Cello, Callie. Then we have Chloe, which is, we got her at Walmart. She was supposed to be a...
We got her at Walmart.
She's at the store.
She's a whole story. So we got her at Walmart just randomly because somebody had a cute puppy. And we said, hey, your puppy's cute. I said, hey, do you want her? Yeah.
Like, I didn't know I was going to get that with the compliment.
Yeah, really. So they told me she was a
give pit. A compliment, get a dog.
They told me she was a pit bull boxer mix. And I wish, like, I need to pull up a picture and show you this dog. But she is like the little, she's so, like a little rat face looking, like, she's a pit bull. She looks, we've summed it up. I think she's a pit bull border collie mix.
Okay.
And she is a spaz.
Okay.
But we love her to death. Yes. And she's the most loyal dog in the world.
Death. Yes.
And we actually had a scare with her just last month. She swallowed something. I mean, we.
Oh, goodness.
Yes, we didn't know. We were going, we went to the vet. They couldn't figure it out. We did blood tests trying to make sure she didn't have some weird blood disease and everything like that. Like, nothing was showing up on the scans. It turned out that we elected to do like an exploratory surgery, and they found something like up in her stomach that was there literally all month. We were trying to figure out
why. She swallowed an object?
What was it? Do you know?
It looked like a piece of a fucking Nerf ball or something. It was like a rubbery foamy look. We kept it. But yeah, I don't know what it was, but thank God, such a soldier. Like, Chloe is she's the smallest dog, but she keeps up because we have another pit bull who we just got who found us.
You attract pit bulls, huh?
I guess so. We literally attracted this dog because one day a neighbor came knocking on our door and she had saw this dog roaming the street and she thought it was our other pit bull, Callie. But this dog was so like head steady on getting it into our house.
Okay.
And so I'm sitting there, we're petting him, and he's beautiful. I mean, like, he's the perfect specimen of a red-nosed pit bull if you think of one, like the stereotypical big head, just the big, broad body.
Mm-hmm. But I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
But he's already sweet as a fucking cupcake.
Yeah.
And so he's already in my lap. And so we're like, okay, we don't want any more dogs at the time. We just lost ours. Uh-huh. We told her that we have to go to, I think it was to like my daughter's game or something like that. And when we come back, if you still house her or if he's still around, we'll put him in our backyard and like wait around. Anyways, before that game ended, they texted us saying like the dog ran off. And we were sick. We were like, we should have just fucking took him. We knew what it was meant to be. I kid you not, the next day in the morning, our dogs were like going crazy, barking and everything like that. And I'm like, what is going on? And so I open the door and this dog comes running around the corner and runs to me. So I'm like, come here, get in here. Get in the back. And he's been with us ever since. And this, I'm going to have to show you pictures after we finish this. He is the biggest, the biggest dog that I've ever had in the world. And he's the biggest baby. Like, he's the one that has to sleep with us every night because if he doesn't, he's going to shit in the house just because he's pissed. We're waking up to shit next to our pool table. And we have, like, if he doesn't sleep
with us,
he's
fucking pissed. Like, fuck you guys.
And it's consistent. It's every time we don't let him sleep with us in the bed.
What's his name?
Buddha.
Buddha. I like that.
I can't wait to show you pictures. Oh, and we have a cat.
And you have a cat. Wow.
A cat that found us as well. We fostered. It was a stray cat that our neighbors had left that had kittens. And we ended up keeping one of the cats. It's a black cat that we named Snow.
Snow. I like that. That's tight.
Opposite.
That's tight. I like that.
Those are all my fur babies.
I love a fur baby family.
Oh, my God. And yeah, so sorry I went off on that tangent about all them, but I would kick it with them, feed them.
And we're back.
Yeah. And then into the night, it would either be some type of occasion where either we're cooking something or having people over, and just I'm a big family guy. Like, I like to have my people around me, my circle.
Yeah,
not like just go super crazy, but like if I just have my people, the vibes are right, we can just sit there and smoke, maybe have a couple of drinks and just have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, right. I like to talk about like real things.
Yeah, yeah. Be intentional with your people and the conversations happening.
That's how I would like to end that day. If not, side B, if we plan to go do something as a unit, like if I'm going out, like I said, I'm a homebody, but what can get me out is if I'm doing it with my people and we're going together.
For
like,
sure. We're bringing to enjoy them and be around them and hang out with them for the night. So fill your cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that would be my perfect day.
Nice.
That sounds like a great perfect day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Very obtainable. I think that you should obtain that soon. Your perfect day.
Do that.
I'm willing it for you soon. Mm-hmm. So, Calvin, in your own words, will you please tell us who you are and what you do?
If you're ever in the Oklahoma City area, check out Chill Dispensary at 22 Northeast 10th Street.
They're good people with hand-washed, single-source live rosin, flower, pre-rolls, and other solventless products.
So go show them some love and enjoy a chill experience.
Now, back to the episode.
So I'm Calvin Keith Silman Jr., Tulsa native, now here in Oklahoma City. I am a father. I am I'm a creative. I've been trying to figure out what to actually call myself because back in after football, you were athlete. When I was trying to do the rap thing, you were a rapper. You put yourself in boxes, and people try to put their expectation on you of what that is. So I don't really like I don't really like boxes at all because what I figured out is I like to just express myself creatively, no matter what medium that's in.
Right.
If I can use my brain creatively, like, I'm satisfied, I'm fulfilled. That's what makes me feel fulfilled.
Yeah, that's good.
So I would just say I am a creative. What I do as far as, like, occupation, which this is fairly new to me. I just now jumped into this entrepreneurship thing this year.
Okay.
Congrats.
Exciting. It's hard trying to explain your journey when you're right at the beginning of your journey.
For sure. I know what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like I'm right at the cusp of it. Like this year was like it was the hardest, most challenging year of my life, but the most fulfilling because I quit my 9-to-5 job literally the end of like December 31st,
2022. Nice.
And with no plan.
Like sometimes, sometimes you just have to leap. Honestly, I've done what you're doing. I've done it a few times in my early 20s. Yes. And if you have enough faith in yourself and trust that things will always work out in your favor, then they do. And you just have to put the work and show up.
And then you realize you're starting to pull things out of yourself that like you always knew were there, but like you're like, oh, you're I can do now. This.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And I can get paid to do that. Oh, and I can charge more for this. Mm-hmm. Like, and this is my skill set. It's a really cool journey that you're on, especially to experience it at a little bit of an older age.
Because
when I did it in my 20s, it was scary. I didn't have really like people to talk to it about because none of my friends were doing it. And I just was like in it, but I was... It was sloppy because I was so young and I didn't come from an entrepreneurial family. Like I didn't have any leaders or people to, you know, like people that I knew, you know, like you see people, I'm a person who likes to learn from people around me and I absorb it better than like watching a video on YouTube or listening to somebody's podcast. Like that's good for me too. But I'm more of like a learn with the people around me and be influenced by them in a great way because they know so much. So and to experience all that, say to experience it in your 30s when you're more grounded in you. Mm-hmm. Wait, you are 30. Wait, I just assumed you're 30. You're in your 30s, right?
Yeah, I'm 30.
Okay, yeah, okay, yeah.
glad you passed that one.
I know. I don't know what made me assume that you were just in your 30s, but I think based on the conversation,
it's a
very mature conversation.
But you're right, though, because in your 20s, I thought things were supposed to go, or thought things were not the way they were at my 20s. I didn't understand what life really was or how things worked, like business or
of
anything. Like, I didn't understand, like, actually pushing a product or marketing or actually branding something. I just thought, hey, you're talented. They're going to come find you because you're good as shit.
Yeah, and then you're like, that's not it.
No, you're going to be sitting there waiting forever and just be the next story. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like you.
Pass the blunt.
A family that just were entrepreneurs, anything like that. Like my dad was a musician. My mom, she worked in like banking, so she always had a 9-to-5. And then when my dad wasn't in music, he worked a 9-to-5. So I didn't see anybody kind of like push to do something themselves. I never saw that until literally the world shut down, and I had nothing else to do but really try to gain knowledge.
Yeah.
And so that's where, like, I learned about trading stocks and things like that. I learned about, what I did was I didn't have that circle, so I went and found that circle in, like, the media that I consumed. I was watching podcasts of things that I needed. Like, so I think the biggest thing is getting the knowledge and then actually using that knowledge.
Yeah.
So, I'm deep into it now. I'm not going to hit this right now. I'm trying to talk. I don't want to take a break. But, it's really tough when you don't have, like, people that you can really kind of bounce ideas off of or even just kind of, like, vent or really understand kind of what that feels like really doing this, because a lot goes into that. And it's not even just that. Like, you're really jumping into entrepreneurship or doing your own thing to kind of like get a work-life balance because you hate the 9-to-5 thing, but your work-life balance when you are doing entrepreneurship is work is also in life, and like life does not stop. And it does not stop. Like I cannot sleep. Like as soon as I lay my head down, no matter, I've taken edibles before, but and it still doesn't help me sleep because my mind is constantly racing. Okay, like you're really on. I think I saw your interview with Hugh, and like you said, you're in the woods, you're hunting. Like, if I'm not bringing anything home, then that's going to cause problems in this household.
Yeah.
And I'm going through, did I make the right decision on quitting my 9-to-5? That was a check I at least knew was coming in.
Yeah. I know, but then you feel happier in a different sense, and then you know that your happiness is, like, worth it, and, like, your peace is that protecting that, and then you're like, okay, I can't do that to myself again. Why would I go back to something that I, like, am actually growing from? You just are, like, feeling it, like, a little bit at once.
And the stress that I feel as an entrepreneur is even I love it more than what I was feeling when I was at the 9-to-5. Like, it's happy. It's almost like, okay, the pressure's on. Let's do this shit. It brought out like you said, you're pulling things out of yourself, pulling things out of yourself.
And it's your own, it's you. You're counting on yourself. You're not working really like for someone else's job to like make their business run really well. I mean, I know like video creating stuff, like you are to an extent, but like you're getting to be creative with that. You have that control, you know?
Yeah.
So that's different. But speaking of like the video stuff, I know I've seen like you,
what do you kind of do that.
So how, I want to know, how long have you been into that? Like, have you just like, are you just like, you know, have you always had like an eye for like wanting to pick up the camera, or are you just like, I'm just, I want to see what happens? And
yeah, I never thought I'd be doing anything with the video, like, or with a camera or anything like that. I've never been like interested.
Yeah.
Other than like when I was doing music and I hired somebody to shoot like a music
video.
I would have visions. I know what looks good.
Yes, for sure.
So what started with me actually kind of like using it to kind of be a business was me and Chelsea, 1 year, we got the new iPhones that were new that year. And I just saw that the cameras looked dope.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, so I want to kind of start doing things. And I remember always growing up, and I would, I think everybody says this, you think your family is so interesting, your life is so interesting, hey, I should have a reality TV show.
But really though, I like, I really stand by it though. I know we'd have a really good one.
You guys would. You all four sister stair step. Like, of course y'all did.
Yeah, drama. Anyways.
It would be, I think everybody goes through that. So I just started filming little things like just vlogs and not to do anything with. I would just film like trips me and my girlfriend Chelsea would take, like, our trips to Florida to visit family, things that were just kind of cool, but they were more like home style things that, hey, I don't care if this really blows up, but this is something to be cool to look back on and have these memories.
Yeah, it feels good to you.
But while I was doing that, and I started noticing, like, okay, hey, this is kind of looks good. Like, I'm noticing, like, I actually kind of have an eye for this. I kind of have a talent for it.
Yeah.
Okay, how can I, when I was still at my, my 9-to-5, I believe, at this time, but I was like, I can actually probably use this and create a side hustle for it and take this and then do this for other people and get paid and and get this out of, get me out of this situation. So I started like doing some more like research on like, okay, what kind of shots you could do. Cause I'm doing, everything you see is really from my phone.
Yeah.
And I was inspired. There's a video director named Cole Bennett, who's really dope. He created Lyrical Lemonade and he's super huge, but he's the most like wholesome, down to earth person. And he's, he wanted to show people that you really don't need all this high-end equipment or really need, like, the music industry or just the gatekeepers, like, that you can do things on your own. And he demonstrated that by using his iPhone for a series and shot music videos with nothing but his iPhone.
That's super cool.
Yeah, so that inspired me. I was like, I'm just going to use my iPhone.
Yeah.
And so I started with, I didn't have any clients, so I just really started doing my little videos for myself. And that just led into me getting better and developing, I guess, a style.
Right, just experiencing it, putting your hands on it, and editing, and all of that process makes you learn it.
Yep, and I would put like a promotion, hey, email me if you your video wants to do this. And I never got any hits or anything like, anything like that, but I didn't start actually really getting into the businesses until I started using my resources and connections and going out there to like kind of get it. So a lot of the things I did, I was not getting paid for, which is what was also causing a strain. I just quit my job at the beginning of the year. We're really like relying on one income at this point. I became a sales rep, but when you're just joining in, I don't have any clients that. So like my little checks for my sales, like like I'm just, hey, let's
can relate.
So like I really commend my girlfriend Chelsea for really like holding down the fort and supporting me as I went through this journey. I know it wasn't easy, and I know she probably really was like, what the fuck am I doing? I don't want to do this.
Cause
I like it was hard because I would see the stress it was putting on her, and that's where I was going into, like, am I making the right decision? I've, you know, quit this job and had this
income. It's like all of the scary, the fears that kind of start creeping up on you.
I thought things were going to happen way faster. Like, I was like, hey, as soon as I started posting shit, I'm like, hey, I'm good. Let's put this out there. I thought people were going to be hitting, but, like, they weren't.
It's like a whole growth process that, like, you're experiencing on top of, like, you just jumped off the diving board, but like you're gonna swim for a while, and it's like you don't know that until you jump off and you feel it for yourself. You know,
we've been swimming. But,
I get that,
but I feel like at this whole time, my faith was tested. This was like you're going to go through this. It's not going to be easy, but do you really believe this is for you? And I did. Like, I was like, I feel it. I would tell Chelsea, I'm like, I don't know what's going on and why this is happening, but I feel something big is about to happen. Like, I don't know. And I'm sure about it. And I don't know what else to say to you other than, like, I'm sure I know what's going to happen.
You're following your intuition.
Like, I'm not, and it is. I've been doing a lot of self-work. And, like, I started meditating, doing a lot of, like, I've been doing some inner child healing, and, like, just recently. Yeah. And so I've become, like, kind of real, I would say, real in tune with my universe, like noticing the synchronicities when they hit up. I've been really like diving into manifesting and planning and putting plans into action and and having intent behind what I'm doing. But
okay, let's pause for a minute and talk about Oklahoma's grassroots cannabis publication, Herbage Magazine.
They are in over 500 dispensaries statewide, providing cannabis education and supporting and highlighting the local communities.
For more information, visit herbagemag.com. That's H-E-R-B-A-G-E-M-A-G.com.
I say that to say, like, I was getting all the signs, like, you're going down the right path. It doesn't look like that physically right now, but why are you going through this? Things are being set up, and they were. So I was, my first like breakthrough with the videos happened when I started doing work with the Big Show. Have you heard of the Big Show?
It's a music festival
that comes to Oklahoma City once a year. It's thrown by a guy named Southwest Dez. He was an artist out here for a while. He's a native Houston. He's a Houston native. He lives out there now, but every year he puts on what's called the Big Show. This next year will be his fifth one. And each year they get bigger and bigger, but he's offering a platform pretty much for all like the local artists, local artists out here, but he incorporates the cannabis industry as well. I know last year he had Blue Collar Criminals as a sponsor. He had Dazed, and along with some others. But I started doing some work with him, and I wasn't getting paid for it. I connected with him on the basis of, like, I see me in you. Like, you have a big vision, and nobody can understand that other than you or don't see it because people see you as one way. They see you as this rapper, Southwest Dez. They see you as this image. But I'm sitting there talking to this man, and he's brilliant and what he's trying to do, and it's a bigger picture. So I said, I can make it look good. I can bring a different perspective to your to the brand that you're looking for. So just we connected genuinely, and then I started doing promos for him, which was hitting. That's how I really started kind of diving and getting my name out there more. And since then, it just keeps evolving. I still wasn't getting, like, paid from
But good things are happening to you.
Yes,
in the right
networking.
Direction.
I'm meeting people. I'm developing these relationships. For sure. And it was just all things that would end later.
Just green lights.
Yeah. But shout out to Southwest Dez for that. Like, yeah, that was a big opportunity just because I got to actually apply myself on a goal. You know what I mean? At first I was just doing videos for myself, but it's now, okay, this is somebody's
baby.
You get
to apply yourself for things you've had been practicing and figuring out.
That was fulfilling.
That's great.
That's great. That so as a creative myself, I like to hear what gets people out of ruts when they get in one, because I liked what you said earlier is when your mind's racing and you're overwhelmed, it blocks your creative process. And I don't think I've ever actually thought about that because I am an overthinker. I have had a lot going on these past 2 years. Life's kind of threw me a lot of curveballs. So my mind is always just racing and my creativity hasn't been there. And yes, that's a little bit because of my depression, but it's cool that you said that because that's something that I feel like is real. So when your mind is over racing and your creative channels are blocked, what is it that you do to find inspiration to pull you out?
That's the biggest thing, is trying to find the inspiration. But I think where my issue was, or where we find issues, is we try to force it. When I think the thing we should be doing is trying to get there organically. So what I do is, like, I slow myself down, either if I'm smoking, but even if I'm not smoking, because I don't just go to that. I've gotten real big into meditation or just being mindful.
Yeah.
Recognize what I'm doing. You're aware that I'm overthinking this. That's the first step. Next is just changing your frequency. You know what you want to do. You know what the intent behind it is. So put that out there in the universe, slow yourself down, and get out of that space where you're feeling like, okay, I'm overwhelmed. Just be present in that moment, and then I believe it will find you because you've just allowing yourself to change that frequency about you. So, like, I'll put on different music. I got really big into Bob Marley, and it sounds so cliche, but it wasn't because of the cannabis thing. It was because I was going through one of those hard times, mm-hmm. and it was the message that he was displaying yeah. in his music. And I was actually at a point where I was listening, and mm-hmm. he was speaking to me. I actually have one of his songs, Satisfy My Soul, tattooed on my hand.
That's
right there.
Cool.
It brought me out of a really low point. But it's a reminder of when everything else is going on, you can say, I'm speaking, satisfy my soul. You mm-hmm. know what you want. Tell the universe what you want. It will give it to you.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. cool.
That's so well said.
Cool that, Bob Marley is, still a living legend and, still yeah. inspiring someone, mm-hmm. In present day mm-hmm. is, help save their life in one way or the other. And yeah. he's just, resting in peace with, all mm-hmm. of this beautiful music.
Mm-hmm. Saved me. I still yeah. go, till this day.
Wild.
I got to a point where I was listening to nothing but reggae because everything I was listening to was not feeding my soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's music can yeah. so easily do that mm-hmm. because especially when, I feel like, for me personally, rap, hip-hop is what I go to when I want to get amped up organically mm-hmm. because of the sound waves, the frequencies. But when I'm feeling, sad or when I'm feeling overwhelmed and I go to that, I immediately am it's too much for me and yeah. my body just goes into I just don't like it. My body immediately starts rejecting it. I get irritated.
Have you seen those videos of people playing music and the water coming out and it's called, I think it's seismic or something, some type of wave, but waveform, but it really, music really affects us more than we think
yeah,
from the,
I agree.
The hertz or whatever that yeah. they put it in to the beats per second. Music is very spiritual and it really speaks in our bodies actually mm-hmm. take in all of that. They say our words have power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can manifest yeah. in your mm-hmm. body too, especially
so
if you're repeating lyrics over and over
you're
in
speaking
your head.
That into yeah. your brain or doesn't know okay, this is just a song. You're actually taking this in. So when you're speaking these things, they will happen in your life.
Yeah.
If you're down and you're listening to some shit that's down, or if you constantly saying, what is the lyric? It's a song right now that, because we love Drake, man. Chelsea loves Drake. But, what is the lyric? What he's like, I'm ready to die. Something yeah. like that. You keep repeating that, the world's going to say, okay, you're ready to die. Let's get him
yeah.
up out of here.
It doesn't make you feel right. You're mm-hmm. kind of what am I chanting?
Yeah, yeah. You're really chanting. Yeah. So chants to beats to, like I said, these words are going along with these sound
waves. I know.
That
can be freaky.
Yeah, you don't know how much this is affecting you. I saw a video the other day of a Japanese experiment where this guy puts 3 cups of rice. And he fills them up, and then one to one cup, he tells it, thank you.
I think I remember that. Yes, I think I've seen this.
He says, you're an idiot. The other one he ignores. The first cup was still thriving after so long. The other one was, that he said, you're an idiot, was black and moldy.
Yeah.
And then the one he ignored was starting to grow mold and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But our words truly hold
yeah.
power.
Yeah.
Every morning, when I open the blinds in my house, I tell my plants good morning.
Same brand.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm doing them. Same. If I don't do it or do it late or something, I'm yeah. Oh my goodness, plants, I'm so sorry. Here's your light.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm doing them a disjustice if I'm not my words are not greeting them or talking to them and acknowledging that they're living inside of yeah. my house too, I am. You know what I mean? I get into my head like that and I'm okay, thank you, plants. Thanks
I
for being here.
I talked to my plant for the first time last night, and it's because last night I was listening to another one of the episodes and I forgot who you were talking to, but yeah. you were saying
it got inspired.
I was before I went to bed, we have this money plant that sits atop of our sink. And so I just went up to it as I was getting ready. I was like, I love you. Keep doing what you're doing. Because,
see what that felt like.
Yeah, man, just keep growing and thriving. Because when we first got it,
it was
so small. But now it's really thriving. And things are, and it's almost representative to our life right now. Things are getting better. And so I'm like, hey, you keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, the fact that you can shift. That's all, it's all about perspective too. Like mm-hmm. you can shift and see that you're both lives and then you're oh wow, I'm keeping you alive, but the sun is also keeping us both alive, but then if I don't water you, you're not gonna be alive, and that's on me. You know, so there's so much.
I don't even kill bugs anymore. I'd try to catch them and set them free. Yeah, it's gotten bad.
I mean, life, it's yeah. I know. It's, but then I watch Nature as Metal and I'm like, oh, circle of life. I mean, I'm not going to be the one to kill it, but when shit happens, I'm like, circle of life. Nature is metal.
Yeah.
They're built. Nature's built for that shit.
Yeah.
So I've been involved in nonprofit work over the year, and that's something that I've been a part of since I was a kid, and it's brought me so much joy. What's your mission to your nonprofit, I Love Your Life, Inc.? And what's the vision and where did your passion come from for creating that?
So I Love Your Life really kind of started with kind of my story and my journey. I knew kind of growing up, being a creative, being kind of knew what kind of I wanted to do as far as creatively when I wanted to do like music or just any type of thing in that outlet. Like I just didn't have the resources or knowledge to really help me excel or chase those dreams. So like kind of going into an adult and I look back and I say, okay, what can I do to help someone like me or what I needed in that instance? They say businesses, like when you're creating a business, the businesses that thrive are the ones that solve problems. There is a lot of problems when it comes to, I say, just the creative community, period, and business. Just from the start, just with how we grow up, we are not taught how to actually run or treat ourselves as mm-hmm. entrepreneurs. Like
you're right about that. It's yeah,
we have art, like in yeah. school, you yeah. learn how to draw, but how do I learn how to actually make this a business for me? Or how do yeah. I actually thrive from this?
Yeah.
So I was just seeing like a lot of situations where we as just people are misled when it comes to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And with me like shutting down and in 2020 and kind of like gaining this knowledge of like businesses and like how to run a business, how to like market yourself and branding and like trading stocks, things like that. I'm like, the only problem I really see is there's a knowledge gap.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the knowledge is out there. Like everything is done at least a million times. Like there's somebody doing a rendition of Cannabis Hangout in their own.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, so for sure.
The knowledge is out there, but some don't know how to access it. They yeah. don't have the means to access mm-hmm. it, or it's not presented in a way for them to digest it.
Yes. Yeah.
So my goal was to create this platform, this network. It's so big. Like I said, I'm still in the journey of it, but what I'm building, it's the bigger picture is just it's huge. I just want to create a hub of resources, both physically and digitally. Mm-hmm. So like you can get on iloveyourlife.com, which we are building.
Okay.
Any of the social medias or consume our content, like my YouTube page that we're running. But I want to produce network. I want to produce shows like podcasts.
Okay, mm-hmm. yeah.
I want to produce films. And, like, anybody who has a dream, like, that you think is unattainable because you have to go to, like, say, Hollywood.
Right,
Or do things the traditional way. Like, mm-hmm. that's all a facade. You can actually make a good living doing this thing independently if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you sure can.
So I just wanted to pretty much use my talents, my resources, my connections, and bring them under this umbrella, this hub, this platform, and just kind of give to these artists who, hey, I do this. The music industry, I could go there. I see this for what it is, but the chances of that is very slim. But I could go here and build a following organically and have forever fans and never, mm-hmm. you know, if that does happen, I bring them along with me. But we're all trying to chase that thing we see on television when really we need to build organically. So I'm just trying to provide
an opportunity, a space for people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So like one thing I want to do in my productions, I want to go out there and find these people to intern and bring them onto these big projects. Mm-hmm. So you can get the experience. You can get that under your belt, say, hey, we just produced a film, and now you can put that under your resume that, hey, I was a part of this. And you're learning, you're growing, you're consuming the content. And just a way that is digestible, it's entertaining. It's not like we're just sitting here putting you through school or a educational, but like we're going to show you how you can do it. You can take the visual and make it your own, or you can go watch the behind the scenes and see how we actually do this stuff.
Yeah.
But I just want to provide a blueprint of just how to do this thing and make it accessible. And that's what like I Love Your Life is, no matter what you want to do.
Yeah. That's cool. That.
And provide funding. Like that's the big thing. Like I want to be able to put out funding for projects. That's a lot of that was my issue. I didn't have the capital to do a lot of the things which stalled me out. If I just had the capital, bam, I could have put plans into motion. So I want to raise a fund where, hey, we can throw grants out there. We can fund projects.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can help make things happen and bring dreams to life faster than we think.
Yep. So that's cool. That is I Love Your Life Incorporated.
That's cool. I love that. That's awesome.
Because I love y'all's lives.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, for sure.
So I also noticed that you were involved with another nonprofit recovery that's called Dare to Dream. What does that provide people? Tell us about that a little bit.
So Dare to Dream is a sober living IOP. It's basically a detox center for people who are in recovery for either addiction, mental health, things like that.
Yeah.
They are actually based in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
But I got connected with them, and I'm doing some marketing for them and helping them with content and things like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm also building something with I Love Your Life and a tie-in,
things
like that, because we want to also offer resources for those who are needing help.
Yeah.
Because we glorify drugs. We're sitting here talking about cannabis right now.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody knows somebody who's struggling with addiction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of want to incorporate just, hey, even in music, we can glorify these drugs. Drugs are a part of life. They are here. But for those who are struggling, who need help, we're going to have the responsibility of, hey, we're going to provide you the resources you can. So call 1-800-425-HELP and let us help you. It's a call for help. And you call, you get a free consultation, and then they set you up and really set you on your journey to recovery. Because addiction is a huge problem, not only in Los Angeles, but the reason I'm in it now is because Oklahoma especially.
Oh, yeah.
The addiction problem out here is crazy. Huge. So I want to do my part as well. Like, yeah, we can sit here and talk about drugs in a positive aspect, but let's talk about the negative as well. Mm-hmm. And let's provide a resource as well to them.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's how I got involved with them, just planning campaigns like that. So right now we're doing the 1-800 campaign, which I have the hoodie on now, they are free. If you are in Los Angeles, stop by. What is the address? I think it's like 8805. I'll get it by the end of this podcast. But go there. You can get free merch. They're literally wanting to get this number out because they want to help you. So you can go there, grab a hoodie. We have sweats. You can get a free, and it's cold. Get you some swag and represent like a cause that is bigger than us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you guys, I want to get you hoodies as well. Give me your size. I'll get some down here.
Cool.
I want to get you some too. And I want to talk to you maybe about promoting and doing like an ad for the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe get you guys saying something. You have is it Chill? They have an ad on here.
Yeah.
So I want to get one.
Yeah.
I want to get one. But yeah, that's Dare to Dream. So it doesn't matter if you are in Oklahoma, still call that number because we can get you out there and we can get you the help that you need.
That's cool. Awesome. That's cool that you're a part of that. Yeah, I feel like that's so needed and so necessary. So we appreciate you sharing. If you could go back and tell your younger self anything, what would you say? What would you think you maybe needed to hear? What would you tell yourself?
Just do it. That's when I was doing a lot of my overthinking.
Yeah.
And so I think so big and grandiose. Like I'm always thinking about like the bigger picture of what things look like at the end. That I stalled myself from making the first step.
Yeah.
And I missed a lot of opportunities then that I could have just created for myself. So one thing would have been just, hey, it's good. Mm-hmm. Don't overthink it. Just do it and see what happens.
Yeah.
That's big. Also, patience. I was so steadfast on like things were supposed to happen in a certain time frame. I had a certain goal that I was supposed to have when I turned 30 that really, now that I see, I'm able like slow down, put it out there, just do it, but enjoy what is happening. I think I'm telling myself this now. I have to remain present and trust that things are happening. I put it out there. I'm taking actions, and they will happen. But to actually enjoy this time that we have here, because you can look up and it's gone.
Yeah,
and you're like, where did time go? I see it all the time with my daughter. Every time I get her. She seems like she's gotten so much bigger just in that little bit of time.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you have to stay present in this. I believe SZA, shout out to SZA, he says this in a song, we're looking for the fountain of youth and it's in the present.
Yeah.
We get so caught up in trying to build the future. And then once like you look up and you maybe have it, you missed out on that youth, that fun, that all that life that you just ignored because you were chasing one goal. And so I'm trying to like stay conscious of that now. Like, I know you have a plan. You feel like you got to do this, especially when you feel like you're doing it alone.
Mm-hmm.
That like every day is like, I have to make this happen, this work. But it's like, no, slow down and and smell the roses is what they say, right?
Mm-hmm. And but so, really, take the time to smell the roses.
Yeah. And appreciate and have gratitude for the things that you do have, because that's where it starts. Because, I mean, my life, I'm so blessed right now. Even though, like, in the times that I thought things were the most hectic, I look back, I have a beautiful woman by my side, like the most amazing person. I have the most amazing animals in the world. And I'm blessed with the most amazing little kid. I have an 8-year-old daughter who's, she's such a, just a special light and such a talent. She's in softball and basketball and does any and everything to keep us busy. But she's so good and is such a rewarding feeling looking and seeing this kid that you held so close as a baby, like kind of out there doing their thing and being in their element and actually excelling. And also to be like such a beautiful person inside and have like such a just a
good
heart.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's like I'm so blessed. And I got to remember like, hey, you're thinking because you want to be financially blessed to where you thought your life was supposed to be. Like you're supposed to be on grind 24-7 just and you're just missing out on literally the riches in life that you have right now. Like that's going to happen, but don't miss out on all this beautiful shit right here.
Yeah.
You feel me?
It's beautiful perspective. It is. That's great perspective. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, for sure.
So we like to ask everyone this question, but what is the stigma you would like to see surrounding cannabis or see change surrounding cannabis?
Just the fact that, I don't know, people look at you like you're icky if you do it. Like,
icky. Ooh, you're icky.
Like it's just so negative. Like, if I go into somewhere smelling like I just smoked weed, you feel like I'm going to be judged.
Yeah.
That just needs to be taken away. Because if somebody smells like cigarettes, of course you're like, ew, that shit stink. But you're not thinking they're the bad person.
Right.
And some people actually use, for instance, I would feel like I would feel so shitty going into, like, my daughter's basketball game and I smell like it, but God, that gives me the most anxiety in the world. You just saw me at this last game. I was nuts. I'm walking around, pacing the court, walking in circles, because it was a physical game. And I'm literally like, I'm talking to Chelsea on the sideline, and then like shit is just happening. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna keep my cool. I'm chilling. I'm good. I'm breathing, trying to do my breathing exercises. And then like these girls are like getting brutalized entire game. Refs are not calling any fouls. And I'm like, oh my God. And then my daughter ended up getting hurt, like to where she hit her head on the court, and I just jumped up, stormed the court, like, just to make sure she was okay. Yeah. But then I'm, like, pissed because, like, refs, y'all could literally kick her.
Call something.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so I'm just pacing the court. I took off my hoodie, my this T-shirt. I'm just pissed, fuming. But it's in times like that, like, maybe if I would have smoked a little bit before, my nerves, my anxiety. Because that is the deal. But, yeah, but if I go and I can't say that, people just think I'm trying to get high. But, no, like, literally, being in these environments, being in this, I mean, even socially, like, I'm going to these places I don't really have a relationship with everybody here. Like, you're going to feel some type of anxiety, and that kind of brings it down. But they don't see it that way. You're just a stoner who smells like weed, and you're just trying to get
a little edible. There you go. You can... edibles,
but my eyes are giving. My eyes are already low as they are.
Yeah.
Like,
they just make them blown.
Oh,
even like 5 mg's.
I give myself away. Yes. But yeah, so I could try to take edibles, but edible high is different for me too. I don't feel like.
Yeah,
I know. Like, a quick smoke before you do that. The smoke you can control more than you can with being like, okay,
an edible high, and then you're
see
stuck.
See you later.
But no, I'm definitely gonna have to do the edibles before the games, like going forward. Because this shit is nuts.
Lesson learned.
I'm going in. I'm gonna be glued to that chair. And so,
I get it though. As a former athlete, and as that being your child, I don't have a child, but I can only imagine, because I watched my nieces and nephew, and I feel like I feel something very close to that, and I like freak out. I'm like, what? They don't even live here. But it's really just when I get to go there and watch them. But like, I'm just that. I'm like, what? No,
the competitive part.
Comes out.
Yeah. I
wasn't really raised an athlete, but I ran
track.
You're
a superstar, so what are you saying?
Thanks, Brian. I ran track in middle school, and then I played volleyball in high school, and I played volleyball with Brian in middle school.
Yeah, it's fun.
Brandon was more the athlete than I was. And we played Y volleyball, remember?
Yeah, we did.
Rachel's mom was our coach.
Yeah.
And went to high school together?
We did.
Oh, dope.
We've known each other since the fifth grade. We've been best friends since the fifth grade.
Okay, because I was telling Chelsea, I was like, they have such good chemistry. That's why.
There's a big secret.
Yeah.
That's our secret.
Dang, that's cool, though, to have a friend that, you know, and then y'all are still so close. Y'all have a business together.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild, really. Yeah. It's something we have to reflect on frequently because it's so rare, I feel like, you know, with people. People and having someone you can always just like have and go to, you know, that someone that you've known forever.
And doesn't have to, like, you don't have to explain backstory or like explain yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You just come as you are and you exist.
Yeah.
And you love one another. It's pretty cool.
That's dope. Grateful for soulmate things, you know?
Well, that's dope. Good for y'all.
Thank you. Well, Calvin, I think this wraps up our episode for today. Thank you so much sharing all of like your knowledge, your passion, your insight, your solid advice.
Yeah.
Thanks for just being you and taking time to be here with us.
No, thank you for having me. I'm honored. I really love the show. Like, you guys have a fan out of me now. Like I said, I've listened to like 4 or 5 different episodes.
Oh, so thank you.
I'm glad to be a part of one.
Happy you're here.
And I would like to do some more stuff with you guys. Okay. Like with like Dare to Dream, I Love Your Life. Like I would like to stay connected with you guys if you're open.
For sure. Absolutely.
We'll talk.
And for those of our friends that are wanting to follow along with Calvin's journey or hire him, go check him out on Instagram at Cal, that's C-A-L, The Connect. Thank you again, Calvin, and to all of our wonderful listeners. Stay tuned for next week's episode, and as always, Brand,
stay medicated.